and learning together this way. Okay, b'siyata d'shmaya, simin tof nun aleph. Mirtz Hashem will start Hagolas Kalim, and we're going to do things a little bit out of order from the Shulchan Aruch. We're going to follow a more of a conceptual approach, the Shulchan Aruch being a little bit more pragmatic, so we're going to jump around. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Ayin Vav Amid Aleph, tells us that when it comes to those things that absorb Iser through heat, Hashpudim, the Gemara tells us that the spits that absorb through heat, so then those things require libud. Yet, the Gemara points out, there are other instances where you have kalim that absorbed Iser through heat and directly from the fire, and there isn't a requirement of libun. There's no requirement of libun. The requirement is another way of removing the Iser, and that is a lower level of heat, and that's called Hagala. And the Gemara in Avodah Zarah suggests, after a lot of back and forth, the Mirtz Hashem Wednesday morning, we'll try to understand a little bit more how that works. The Gemara suggests that when it comes to the Hechsher Kalim, there's a distinction between Hetera Bala and Isura Bala. Whether the Iser was absorbed, Behetera or Beiser, is going to make a difference. So let's take a look at this very, very important Hakdama from the Mishnah Brura. Interestingly, the Mishnah Brura puts in a funny place. He puts in Sif Katan Chaf Ches. And the reason he put it in a funny place and not in the beginning of Simin Tafnun Alf is because the Mechaber in Siv Dalid gives us the halachos that are central to this, and therefore the Mishnah Brura gives his Akdama in Dalid as opposed to Aleph. So let's take a look first at the Mechaber. Kalim shemishtamshim b'em al-yideh ur, kigon shvudim askeloso kiyotze b'em, tzrichin libun. If you have those things that absorb the Iser through heat, in this case the Chametz through heat, that requires libun. V'alibun hu achyei nitzotzas nitazim mehem. Immediately, the Ramah comments that this is assuming a stringent understanding of that Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Because there's a fascinating conceptual question, probably the most compelling conceptual question in all of Hilchos Hagolos Kalim BePesach, and that is, how do you look at Hagolos Kalim for Pesach? Do you look at those items as Isura Bala? The Chametz came in B'Isur? Or do you look at it as Hetera Bala? We mentioned that in Kodshim, when the Kodshim is absorbed into the Kalim, so then it's not yet Nosar, so that the Gemara calls Hetera Bala, and even if it was absorbed through roast, nevertheless, all you need to do is Hagala. So the Ramah immediately points out that there are some who are not going to be as machmer as the mechaber. V'yesh makilin im nislabin kol kach shekash nisraf alav mi b'chutz. There are some who say that you don't need such a heavy temperature. You don't need the temperature that's referred to as libun chomor, but rather it's going to be enough to do libun kal. Why? Because even if it doesn't get so hot that there are sparks flying out, like the Mechaber had said, from the metal itself, but rather just if you put straw on the other side, that'll get burnt, the Rama says that's enough, because technically, all you require is Hagala, because it's Hetera Bala. So Mishnah Brura spells out, Akdim Hakdama Ktsara, the first words on page 76, Dida, Di Isa B'Gemara, Didafka Dover Isra Nivva B'Ki Alidei Ur Tzarech Libun, only those Isurim that are absorbed through fire requires libun. Aval davar heter anivla b'kli alidei ur afsha achakach nesar kigon b'sar kachim shetzalu b'shvud al gabei ur afsha l'besof nasa b'liya b'shvud nosar. Even though afterwards it becomes problematic, afil hachech sher shal shvud dai ba'agola. So that's going to be the issue in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that we spelled out before. But when it comes to chametz, we have a fascinating conceptual question. Some say that we call it Hetera Bala. Why? So how do you look at chametz? On the one hand, chametz, when it was absorbed, was Heter. So then it should be like Kachim, that when it was absorbed, it was Heter, and only later on it became Iser. However, the Ramban has an interesting argument of why there are some who assume that it's Isura Bala. Because when it comes to Kadshim, Kadshim is called something entirely different when it was absorbed. It's Halig. It's Kadshim. It's Avodas HaKarbonos. So, and only afterwards does it become Isur. It becomes negative. Chametz is called Chametz whether it's Pesach, whether it's not Pesach. So there's room to argue that when it comes to Chametz, even though it's not Pesach, it's the Isur of Chametz. It's a fascinating conceptual question. Chametz, do you say that it changes on Pesach itself? It has a new name, and now it becomes Isur. We say that it was changed. It was a terrible, and now it becomes Isur. Or do we say, no, the Chametz the whole time is called Chametz. We don't say that by Kachim. It's because Kachim entirely changed. It went from being Halig to not to an entirely different entity. Chametz is going to go back to Heter again. It doesn't become inherently changed like the way Kachim does. So Kachim was once one thing, and then it was something else. That could be called a Terabala. But Chametz, which was always Chametz, that could be called Isurabala. So that, the Mishnah Berurah continues, that's a big machlokas. V'yesh omrim dafka noser, sheb'eis ha'bli aloha yisham noser ha'basa klal. L'chein nikra davar zeh b'shem a Terabala. L'chametz, de'be'eis ishtamshus ha'shvu b'chametz ha'yishem Chametz, v'achshav gamkein shmoy Chametz. That's not called a Terabala. That's going to be called Isurabala. How do we paskin? So says the Mishnah Berurah, ulazeh hiskimu rova poskim, that most poskim hold, that we paskin, that's Isura Bola. Valkein posak ha-mechaber kavasayu, and that's why the mechaber paskin that way. Umikol mokom ein lilma midin zeh, de mikomos acherim, de lefanim hecha sheyesh od stadim lahakam etzar finan. But the Mishnah Berurah points out, and we're going to start in this direction, the Mishnah Berurah points out that even though we paskin Isura Bala, that if you have chametz, what you need to do is libun. Libun is going to be well over 800 degrees, so that's quite hot. So the Mishnah Berurah says, even though we paskin that you need that, and Hagola is not going to be enough, and Libun Kal is not going to be enough, nevertheless, the Ramah immediately told us that there are some who are Mekel. The Mordechi is Mekel. And there are times we're going to be Mitztarif, as we'll see shortly, Lekula, the Shitos, who hold that it is Hetera Bola. The Ramah continues, V'nogin kisfar rishon b'chol davar shedino kalibun, where generally machmir, so it's both the Mechaber and the Ramah is machmir, then when you're machshir, you have to be machshir up until the point of libun chamur. But the Ramah already gives us the first exception, the first exception to the rule. That already cracks in the fence that we're not always machmir the Isura Bala. Avol dover shedino bahagola. But what happens if you have something that requires hagola? It wasn't absorbed through fire. It was absorbed through hot water. Sheyesh bo sdokim oshemachmir in labno sagi bliman kal kazeh. If you have something that requires hagola, but you're burning out that which is inside crevices, so then you don't need to reach the place of libun chomer. Libun kal is going to be enough. And also, there are instances where we're going to be makel because there are other variables that will allow us to be makel. What is a classic case that we're going to be makel? That appears in the sugya of Rov Tashmisha. The sugya of Rov Tashmisha we have in Seif Vav, the sugya of Rov Tashmisha. The question of Rov Tashmisha is as follows. What happens if you have an item that is sometimes used for roasting, and sometimes used for agala? So there were times that it clearly absorbed the chametz. We're assuming chametz is Isura Bala now, for a moment. So it clearly absorbed at times the chametz through roasting. So that should require libun. On the other hand, there are times that it absorbed it through hagala. So how are we going to define that kli, whether it requires hagala or libun? So that's the din of Rov Tashmisho, that you look at the majority, how it's generally used. Rav Nevin Sal Shlita told me a beautiful makar for the din of Rov Tashmisho, why Chazal said it. The pasuk tells us in actually last week's parsha, Kol HaMishkav, any mishkav that you sit on has its set of halachos of Tumah. So Rashi quotes Chazal, Kol HaMishkav, that which is miyuchad for Shechiva. If it's designated for Shechiva. So Rav Nevensal pointed out that the pasuk by us in Haggalah that we read last week, Kol Asher Yavo Ba'esh, so that's the same call. And Chazal understand that which is Miyuchad for. So what does that mean? That means that even if at times someone sits on it, it doesn't have the din of a Moshav. And that means that even if at times you used it for roasting, then it doesn't have the din of a roaster. So that was Rav Nevensal's brilliance in showing how Chazal are using the same hagdara of kol that kol means what it's miyuchad for. So whatever it's the majority of time, so then that's going to be the din. So siv vav, the mechaber writes, kol kli holchem bo'acha rov tashmisho, we go after the rov, hilkach ka'aros, afal pishal pa'amim mishtam shemem mikli rishon ala esh, kivan sherov tashmishonu bi'irui shemara leh mikli rishon kachulach sheiran. So even though at times it's being used as a kli rishon ala esh, but generally the iser comes through irui. So then the way to kasher it is through irui. Of course, that's how we kasher our stainless steel sinks. We kasher our stainless steel sinks by pouring hot water because it generally gets the iser through irui. It is possible that there are times that it got the iser not through irui. It could be that there was chametz sitting on the bottom of the sink. And then maybe there's room to argue that there was a problem of Bishul Kli Rishon. But since it's Rove, in such a case, Rove is in that manner, so therefore we say it gets the Haggalah in that manner. All you have to do is follow Rove Tashmisho. Okay, with that in mind, with this Nafkamina of Rove Tashmisho, let's take a look at the Mechaber in Sif Gimel. Mechaber in Sif Gimel tells us practically how this plays out. We're going to have these two fundamental variables. Number one, whether chametz is considered a sirabala or a terabala. Number two, of how we define the kli, whether we define it in terms of that it once absorbed iser through heat, so therefore automatically requires libun, or no, we follow rov tashmisha. So those two factors, that's going to be critical in the Rama over here. So says the Rama, the Mechaber, over here in Siv Gimel, Tofnun Alf Gimel, says the Mechaber, Sakinin, knives, Magilim b'kli rishon umutarim, knives, you could also kasher b'kli rishon. That's how we paskin today. The knives are, if they are chametzdik and we want to kasher them, so then, well, we're magal b'kli rishon. The Mechaber does mention that when you have knives that have crevices in it, it's a little bit more problematic. You have to make sure that you clear out the crevices. And the Mechaber even says that in general, we discourage, I think many of the Haggalah Kalim places will not even accept a knife that has crevices inside. In other words, that there's a handle and a separate sakin. But Me'ikr Dedina, one can. Someone called me up. One of the Rabbanim from the yeshiva called me up right before Pesach, and he didn't have, it seemed like it was last minute, they didn't have any other knives, and he had only knives with a handle. So I said that Me'ikr Dedina, you could do Haggalah on that, even though if you go to a Haggalah's Kalim center, they won't accept those knives. They'll only accept the regular sakum, the regular, where everything is made of the same material. But if this handle is made of a different material, they won't accept that. And that's spelled out by the Mechaber as the minignatu. But b'shas hadchak, clearly one could be mekel. Coming back to how you do the hechsher, so the way in which you do the hechsher is you do the hechsher through Haggalah. But the Mishnah Berurah points out that that's a little bit of a chiddush. The Mishnah Berurah points out that that's not pashut at all. Because he points out in Sif Katan Yutes that, wait a second, a knife is only absorbs the chametz through hot water? That's not true. Because there are times that you have you had a frankfurter, you had a hot dog. The hot dog was cooked al yedei ha'esh, and now you cut the hot dog with the knife. And so there, in that case, that would be a din of tzli. If that would be a din of tzli, so then in such a case, you need libun. Libun would be absolutely necessary. So the question is, how could it be that when it comes to sakinim, that you're able to do Haggalah? So if you read the Mishnah Berurah carefully, this is how Rav Nevensal Shlita told me to read the Mishnah Berurah properly. If you read the Mishnah Berurah carefully, it's Kamat Mefurish, you just have to read it slowly. The Mishnah Berurah says that there are two variables that are at play over here. Number one, we have the din of chametz being a suffix of whether it's heterabala or isurabala. We have one suffix. Number two, we have a suffix of how to look at a knife. Do you say that the knife is rov tashmisho al yidei chamin, or do you say it's rov tashmisho al yidei ha'or, al yidei ha'amayim? So then, since we have those two tzadim, so in such a case, you could be mekel. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says in Yutes. Hachi, about four lines into Yutes and Mishnah Berurah. Kivan she'esh omrim sha'filu kelim ha'plu mechon tzadeh or milvad nami ein tzarech el ha'gola. Since there's some poskim who say that even if it was al yidei ha'or, all you need to do is ha'gola. V'gam poskim som desakinim ein lam din kelim ha'plu al yidei ha'or. That there are some who say, no, we define the knife not by its usage of cutting frankfurters. We define the knife in terms of cutting other things. And those things were only al yidei hagala. So if those things are only yidei hagala, so then in such a case we have two tzadim to be mekel. So we see that these two sugyas come together. If you have a suffix of whether what's its din of rov tashmisho, here's another example where the Mishnah Berurah will pull out the shita that holds the chametz is a terabala. But in general, the bottom line is as we presented. The bottom line is that, number one, you follow rov tashmisho. Number two, you follow isura bala. But if you're dealing with those things, the Rishonim spelled out, where it's not so clear what the rov tashmisho is, so then, in such a case, one could be mekel. So far, so good, Rabosai? Good?
How does the idea of Rov Tashmisho fit into Keshibolo Kach Polto? Shouldn't we just assume that the most Chamor is always...
Right. So,
I understand Rav Nevensol's din, but how does that make sense to Blios?
Right. So I think that I think that part of the answer lies in the fact, and this will only be able to... You know what? I'll answer your question now, even though I didn't address it initially. Let me take a step back, Chaim, and say another 3-4 minutes of shiur, and then maybe come back to your question. Okay? Good. I'm glad you asked it. The truth is, the whole halacha of etera bala and isura bala is really hard to understand, because why should it make a difference whether it's etera bala or isura bala? At the end of the day, either the Isser is halachically significant, or the Isser is not halachically significant. The whole halacha is hard to understand. So Wednesday morning, it's going to become a very complicated question. We're going to have the Rajba, we're going to have the Me'iri, we're going to have the Ritva, we'll have a lot of different shitas. But I want to jump ahead in halacha shir, not the lamdas shir, but in the halacha shir, jump ahead to the Yisod. The Yisod, according to many... I found this in Rav Ozner's Chuvas, in Chelek Bey's Chuvah Lama Gimel, and Rav Ben Narsh told me that Rav Soloveitchik said a similar pshat, although I haven't seen it yet in the writings of the Talmidim. But it makes sense that Rav Soloveitchik will say, you'll hear the Vart and you'll see that this is a classic Mahalach. And the suggestion was as follows. Hetera Bola and Isura Bola, Hagola works by getting out most of the Yisr. Hagolah gets out most of the Yisr. Hagolah gets out most of the Yisr to the point that there's not enough time to give over the rest of the Yisr. However, the case that we learned in Simin Kuf Chaf Aleph, in Yisr Veheter, that if you have tarfus, if you have pork that was roasted into the knife, then the only way to get out the Yisr is a din and libun, is as follows. That not only do you have to make sure that the kli is not going to give off tam into something else, the gzeiros hakosav is that you got to get all the isser out. In other words, it's not that simply you're making sure that the tam is not going to go into the next one, but if it was isura bala, then the kli became treif. Hetera bala, the kli never became treif. Isura bala, it's a geshmak alumnus, no chayim? Isura bala, the kli became treif. So if the kli became treif, then you gotta get all the isser out. But when it comes to hetera bala, there the kli didn't become treif. There the kli, the chshash is what it's going to give over to the next. In Kainim Advarim, Chaim, coming to your question, so then you see that over here, we're talking about a formal din. What's the status of the kli? Is this a treif kli? Or is this not a treif kli? So then rov tashmishav amevin yavin will make a difference. I don't want to shtel too much now because it's a halacha shir, but I think the din of rov tashmisho then becomes connected to that as well. You could use a formal din of Rov Tashmisha because the question is, what's the status of the kli? Is it a kli that's called a treif kli or it's not? Once we're talking about creating a chalos of Hechsher on the kli. Yesh Lodun, I don't want to stick too much on it now. I want to get back to Lamaisa. Yes, Zach?
So, but doesn't either way it not matter because the first day of Pesach starts, even though it was a terrible, we're going to consider it Isser? So the kli is going to be an Osir kli.
Excellent question. Next shiur, we're going to discuss that it could very well be that the heter that we have to be able to kasher and assuming certain things that the Isser is not going to go back into the kli is going to be based on the idea that we're kashering and went to hetera bola. But if it's already Pesach, then you're 100% right. Then you have to deal with the fact that it's a Seira Bala, and that's what we're going to learn in Tafnun Beis, that you have to be Choshish that the Isser is going to go back. So Amir Tzeshem will get there. Tov. Okay. But if we're talking about before Pesach, Zach, which is how we paskin, that's how we do Hechsher, it's very problematic to do Hechsher on Pesach. In fact, one of the Chevra had a Shaila 2 days before Pesach. And he was only able to turn into Ben Yomo, it was the day before, it was Yud Gimel, he called me. So he could kasher it the morning of Yudalid, but if he would wait 24 hours, it would already be noontime of already the Zman Iser. So I told him it's better to rely on Shitas Rashi, that it becomes an Eina Ben Yomo, just simply waiting overnight and not waiting 24 hours, than to do Hechsher Kalim for the reason that you just asked. And once it's Isura Bala, it's going to be much more complicated in terms of getting the Hechsher done. You asked in one way, and there are other problems as well. Tov. The Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Yutes, that we're up to, goes on, and he introduces a Chumrah that you might have heard of, but you probably never saw its source inside. He says the following, two lines from the bottom. It's based on a Magen Avram. The Magen Avram is a little vague, and we'll see. This comes up all the time, halacha l'maisa for Agolas Kalim, not for Chametz on Pesach, but year-round. Says the Mishnah Berurah, v'sakinim habluim ibasa l'chalav, dai b'hagola. If you have knives that are absorbed with basar, then in such a case, all you have to do is do agola. So if I want to take a fleshik dika pot and I want to make it milchiks, a pot that was used, whether it was used for roast or whether it was used with hot water. Why? Because that's hetera bola. If it's hetera bola, all I need is hagola. Acha olam nogu iser bezeh. The world is noeg be iser. The Magen Avram quotes that the minig is to be machmir. So this is a big challenge that we have, a Magen Avram that created a Chumrah, that the Magen Avram's Chumrah was, that the halach is, you can't kasher from fleishiks to milchiks, or milchiks to fleishiks. And we're going to see that here, the Mishnah Berurah gives us an exception for Chametz on Pesach. He quotes that the Chasam Sofer says that even though this position of the Mishnah Berurah is what we of the Magen Avram is what we follow, but if you're already kashering for Pesach, let's say you had a chametz pot that was fleishiks, and now you want to use it on Pesach, so what you could do is, you could kasher it, and now it'll be kosher le Pesach, and now you could transfer it to milchiks. It's clear that the Magen Avram's chash is that we're afraid that people are going to be kashering back and forth. Maybe kashering back and forth. Chaim's nephew and my son go to the same yeshiva, and my son said that the chelik of Mishmar Thursday night is they like kasher all the kalim every week. They're so machmer in that yeshiva every week. I don't know if they kasher all of them, but every single shiloh that the boys have, they dump it into one thing, and Thursday night, part of Mishmar, is they do Hagolas Kalim. So Chasam Sofer was afraid that there was going to be a not from yeshiva, and that what are they going to do? They're going to, at the end of every day, they're going to go, and they'll just kasher, they'll kasher every night for the next meal. They'll go back and forth. They'll only have one set of Kalim. So that the Chassam Sofer didn't want. The Magen Avraham didn't want. And the Minog was not that way. And so we have this Minog. To this day, we follow this Minog. And that is that we don't kasher from Fleishiks to Milchiks. However, we just saw exception number one. Chassam Sofer gives us exception number one. He says if you're already kashering for Pesach, then in such a case, it's going to be mutter. Another exception. We're going to list a bunch of exceptions to this rule. Rav Miller Shlita said that if someone wants to sell his kalim, this comes up in the Grus Kolel all the time. I don't know how they're going to have the fire sale at the end of this, what do they call it? The packages, right? The package sale. You sell your package. So, what happens, Rav Miller Paskin, I think it was in regards to the package, I don't remember, but he clearly said that if someone wants to sell their kalim, and you want to buy their kalim, but your wife says that it looks nicer for milchiks and not for fleishiks, they used it for fleishiks. So then in such a case, if it was an instance where if someone wants to sell it, so then he's allowed to kasher the kalim. The case particularly would be that the mocher wants to sell it and tell people that you can use it for both. It's neither fleishiks nor milchiks. It's good as new. It's good as new. So then in such a case, it would be mutter to do such a thing. It would be an interesting question that I don't recall that Rav Miller addressed, is what happens if you never kashered it. You tell me it's fleishiks, but I want to buy it only on the condition that I can use it for milchiks. So that would be, he didn't address that directly, but I would imagine that also we're going to see that there are sources that say that if it's extremely inconvenient, so then in such a case, a one-time exception is going to be mutter. Why? Because what was the svara of the chumrah? The svara of the chumrah was that people are going to be kashering back and forth. This is a one-time deal. This, I'm buying it. So in such a case, that could be makel. Similarly, the Tshuvas Marsham, Chelik Bey Simon Reish Mem Aleph, as well as I just found that the Marsham in his Das Torah, in our Simon, in Tafnun Aleph Sif Tezvav, says that if you wait 12 months, so then in such a case you could kasher from one to the next. He also says that you could actually pull a fast one. What could you do? You could kasher from Fleishiks to Parif, and use it once as Parif, and then go to Milchiks. And that was the whole Chshash of the Magen Avraham was people are going to be kashering back and forth. But if you go to Parav, not you say that it's Parav and then use Milchiks, but you go to Parav and you use it as Parav and then you go to Milchiks, so then in such a case, that'll be Mutter. There is a Mishneh Brura in Hilchos Shavuos, in Simin Tav Kuf Tes, Sif Chaf Hei, that says that if you're stuck, what you're allowed to do is make the kli treif and then kasher it. If you have a milchik dika kli, you can make it treif and then kasher. Let's take a look, since we have those halachas in front of us. Simin tof kuf tes, sif katan chaf hey. Va'pri megadim, at the end of the Sif Katan Chafei in the Mishneh Berurah, va'pri megadim kasav da minig lahatrif mikodim. The minig was to make a treif and then to kasher. It's quite a chidush because one could have said that itself is dangerous, but the pri megadim says that is the minig. And finally, the last exception of the rule is Rav Nevensal told me that he thinks that all of these things are only a gzeira, that people are going to do it within a few minutes of each other, constantly kashering back and forth. But what happens if it's not out of convenience, but it's out of necessity? An example would be that a person has gone on vacation and he doesn't have fleishik dikka things. He thought he would only need milchiks. So then Rav Nevensal thought, based of all the above, there's room to argue to be makel. That was sort of what I was suggesting such a thing, since it was such a gzeira, and Rav Nevensal did not say that it was incorrect. I can't say that Rav Nevensal said it was mutter, but he said to me, yes, there might be room to be makel in such an instance. Okay. Rabosai, now with all of the above, let us go, once we're armed with the understanding of Heterabal and Isurabal, once we're armed with the understanding of Rov Tashmisho, once we're armed with answering Chaim's question about what the difference between Rov Tashmisho and Heterabal and Isurabal is, we're able to appreciate the poskim in going back to Isur Veheter. If you take a look in Simin Kufchof Aleph Sif Dalid, we're generally going to be in Siman Taf Nun Aleph, but as we go along, we'll see that there'll be halachos that will directly correlate between Kuf Chaf Aleph and Taf Nun Aleph. So in Siv Gimel, the Mechaber there says, Dini HaGol HaVelibon Lohem K'suvim BeHilchos Pesach. So go to Hilchos Pesach. Then in Siv Dalid, he does something interesting. He repeats a halach in Hilchos Pesach, and then he gives a psak that is actually quite difficult if one looks in Hilchos Pesach. And that is, again, we're going to talk about another kli, which is a little vague. What's a kli that's vague? We spoke about vagueness, about whether it's used generally for tzli or whether it's used for chamin. That's one kli that's vague. Now let's talk about another kli that's vague. A pan. What is a pan? Is a pan something that is considered nivla yidei roschin? Or is a pan considered something that's tzli? So the Mechaber says in Iser Veheter, in Kuf Chof Alf Dalid, machvas, a pan, shemitagnim ba, that you fry in. So the question that we're really discussing is frying. What is the status of frying? So machvas shemitagnim ba, afal bishlein yichametz pesach daila ba agola, even though when it comes to chametz, it's really enough with agola, li'inyin shari surim tzrichin libun, but when it comes to other isurim, there it needs libun. So the Mechaber gives us the psak that says that you could be makel by chametz with Pesach, but when it comes to shari surim, it needs libun. So what's the pshat over here? Why is the Mechaber differentiating between chametz that's dai when it comes to the pan to do hagala, but when it comes to shari surim, needs libun? What's the obvious answer? The obvious answer is that the Mechaber over here is assuming that chametz Pesach is different because hetera bala. But the problem is that we learned not that way. We learned, that's the big question that all the Achronim are bothered by. It's like the Mechaber was like sort of pushing our buttons when he begs the problem. He says, Chametz b'Pesach, you could be Mekel. What's the reason we make Chametz Pesach? Of course, the reason would be a Terebala. But the problem is in Taf Nun Aleph Dalid, the Mechaber beferish paskin not that way. He said that something that absorbed, the Chametz absorbed Alidea, or the Halacha is that it needs Libun. So what's the Yishuv within the Mechaber? Yes, Zach.
When he says about Shari Surin, we need Libun, does that include Basar B'Chalav? I mean, obviously, because
yes,
Basar, meaning itself, would be a terrible.
Exactly.
To go back.
Correct. Correct. It will be just basar. So then that's a terabah. That's hagala, and that's where we have the chumrah of the Magen Avram. Once it becomes basar v'chalav, we cooked chalav inside. So then it's isura bala, and then you're stuck again. It's isura bala. So how we miyashiv? So we first start with the great shach. So let's take a look at the shach in Siv Ches and Kuf Chof Aleph Ches. Says the shach, Sheli inyin chametz pesach dai ba'agala. Says the Shach, Kivin da be tera bala, v'chein mashbu beis Yosef, v'chein nira miloshan mechaber kan, v'kach kosav atera zov. Ulefi ze, gam b'machva shel cholav abasar sagi ba'agola. I wrote in my notes, in the outline, that this Shach is mashma, not like the Magen Avram. He says that therefore you're allowed to do hagala to go from fleishiks to milchiks. He doesn't mention anything about the minig natu. So if you ever have a sveiko dedina about kashering from milchiks to fleishiks, I'd like to be mechadesh that there's a beferish shach that's mashma against the Magen Avram, against that minig. So he says, whenever you have a terabal, you could do hagala, including going to milchiks to fleishiks. Kimen de terabala. So the shach says that's the simple pshat that the mechaber paskin this way. Aval b'tshuvas Menachem Azariah kosavatam mipnei shemachva shel akum rov tavshishon b'li mayim el ayidei shar mashkin kigon shamein ukedomela masha'en kein b'machva shel chametz. So the Menachem Azariah says, no. But when it comes to shari surim, there, generally, how do you use the pan? The way you use the pan is you're putting meat on the pan. What do you do? What do we put on the pan when we put meat, or that matter, almost anything else? What we do is we put spam. We put some type of shuman over there to protect the pan or to add flavor to the meat. So then that's not called agala. When do we have a havamina that a machvas has a din of roschen and has a din agala? That's when hot water was used. But if oil was used or anything else, so then in such a case, it's going to be a problem. Well, how do you generally cook meat? How do you generally put meat in a pan? You put it with oil. oil is not considered roschin. That's Menachem Azariah's teretz. Incense, kuf chaf aleph, that there, it's generally used with oil. However, chametz, what they generally do with chametz, so he said, with chametz, they didn't use oil. With chametz, they would put water. So then, in such a case, when it comes to chametz, since it, with the pan is generally used for only with water, so then it has a din of agala, even though it's a din of Isura Bala. It does have a din of Isura Bala. But what the Mechaber said, that by Chametz v'Pesach you could be Mekel, is not because of the assumption of our question that Mechaber was assuming it's a Tera Bala. No, it's just a difference in the Metzius of how it is going to be cooked. So these are the two Mahalchim in the Shach. The Shach didn't even raise that L'chura, the first Teretz, is against Simin Tafnun Aleph. It's a little bit of a pella to me that the Shach didn't even point that out, that it seems to be a contradiction, but the Gra does. The third Mahalach is the Gra. If you take a look at the Gra in Sif Tes, in Kuf Chaf Aleph, Sif Katan Tes, the Gra says as follows, V'hinei ha-mechaber tafas ikur divrei harash, she'ela she'esh lahachmir. Oh, says the Gra. You know what? Let's start leaving it before. Start from the beginning of the Gra, Sif Katan Tes. Right from the beginning. Kach Kasa Mordechi. Usfir le de pa'amim nis yabesh, vahave kitashmisho aidea ar. So, what is a machvas? Says the Gra. The mechaber here is choshesh, that the way in which you look at a machvas is like roasting. Even though you hardly ever put something directly on the machlas. You normally put some type of oil, some type of water. Nevertheless, we consider that a minority. And the Mordechi says, therefore, since it's a terabal, you don't need libun. They reject that svara. So we have a machlokus between the Rosh and the Rav Yah of how we look at a pan. Do we look at a pan as something that's considered bolei alidei roschin, or do we say bolei alidei or? V'hine ha-mechaber tafas ikur divrei ha-rosh. Elish yesh lahachmir. So, mi'ikur didino, we consider a pan alidei roschin. But there are shitos who are machmir. There are shitos who are machmir. We have the shita of the Mordechi. Avo bechametz de belavach yesham de chametz nikra terabala. But by chametz we have a shita that holds that chametz is called a terabala. Afagav de lo svir lekein. Even though the mechaber doesn't paskin that way, nochas chametz mikamakom bekei gavne yesh lesmoch aleihem. So what the Gra answers, the third mahalach of the Gra is that there's no stira in the mechaber. Number one, the mechaber really holds that a machvas has a din of al yidei roschin, but we're machmir for those shitos who say there's a din al yidei ha'or. But with chametz, where you have another tzad lahatir, the tzad lahatir is a terabala, then you're going to be mekel. But in hilchas chametz, there, the Mechaber Paskin, the Chametz is Isura Bala, because he was Choshesh for the Sheet of the Chumrah. But if you're not going to do two Choshesh, says the Gra. You're not going to be Machmir to say that a Machvas has a Din Sli, and be Machmir that Chametz is Isura Bala. That far we're not going to go. So the Mechaber holds that we're Machmir on a Machvas as only a Choshesh L'chumrah. But two Choshesh L'chumrah, like a Svek Svek Ala Achmir, that the Gra says that we're not going to do. So to crunch, we have a stira, first glance, a stira between Kuf Chaf Aleph Dalid and Taf Nun Aleph Dalid. We have the first mahalach is to say the Mechaber really paskins Hetera Bala, and we leave off with a Sarachion. That's the first approach with the Shach of why he's Machmir and Taf Nun Aleph Dalid. The second is to differentiate between the Mitzius of how the Chametz is cooked and the Isser is cooked, and that's the approach of Menachem Azariah. And the third mahalach is the Graz mahalach to say that the Mechaber is pointing out that we have two possible chumras over here. A pan is not pashut, that you view it like a spit. Maybe a pan is like a pot. And therefore, when it's one safek, so then the Mechaber was machmir. But when it comes to chametz, where you also have a tzad heterabala, that even if it absorbed it through fire, it still is considered a Teir Bal, and therefore Agala would be enough, there the Mechaber was Mekel. Then it would come out that there's no Stira whatsoever. Yes, Zach?
How come we can't just say by pen that we go by Rov Tashmisho, like across the board? And then everyone will, for themselves, however they use it, you know, that's how you're going to kosher for regardless.
Right. So the answer to that question is, it seems like it's a conceptual question of how to look at the pan. How do you look at the pan? Do you look at the pan as being a pot, or do you look at it as a spit? And really, a pan is a fascinating question. A pan could go in two directions. And that's what the Gra is claiming is already a machlokas between the Mordechi and the Rush. The Mechaber is being machmer, but it's not going to be double machmer. Good? Okay. Beautiful. So, our rule of thumb is, if it's a spit, when it comes to Chametz B'Pesach, so then in such a case, it needs what? It's going to need Libun. If it's Hagola, then Roschin, it needs Hagola. What happens if you have a Klisheni? What will the halacha be with a Klisheni? We already discussed in Hilchos Bishul Basar B'Chalav, and Emir Tzashem next year we'll discuss in Hilchos Bishul B'Shabbos, that a Klisheni in general is not Mevashel. But if you remember, we had a Shach that was already Machmir. The Shach we learned in Hilchos Taruvas in Simin Kuf Hei says that a Klisheni is Maflit Umavliya. So there is already strains in Isser V'Heter, in Yoredeya, that we were at times machmir with a klisheni. Similarly, we have another strain over here in the Ramah in Simin Tafnun Aleph, Sif Aleph. The Ramah says, you know what, let's go through the whole mechaber. It's an important mechaber. It's very straightforward. Kderos shel cheres, shenishtamish bem chametz kol hashana. You have cheres that we already discussed in Kufnun Beis. Afilu osim shosim em daiso minik machim. Meshavshef on Heitev, Binyan Shalom Yechon, it's Nikrabem, Mutah Shosan Achra Pesach, Lishtamish Ben Bemino, Ben Shalom Bemino. The halacha is that you don't need to break the pots, even though there was a sheet in the Gemara that says you do, but you clean it out well, and that's it. By the way, you don't have to sell them to the guy. If the pot is cleaned properly, you don't sell it to the guy. And some of the posts can point out that if you sell the pots to the guy, then they need Tevilas Kalim, because the guy now owns it. So it should be careful that even though we put away, many of us put away our pots with the other stuff that we sell to the goy for Chametz B'Pesach, in the Rav Shtar, the best thing would be that it doesn't say that you're selling the pots, but rather the chametz that's in the pots. That if you didn't clean the pots properly, so then you're selling the chametz, but not the pot itself. Back to the Mechaber, three lines in Tafnun Aleph Aleph. So you put them away. The question is, why can't you do libun on cheres? Why can't you burn out the iser? Because what libun does is it burns out the iser. So you can't do hagala on cheres. But why can't you burn them out? So lo lishum cheres nishtamshem chamin. You can't do it because people are afraid that's going to break. People will never kasher the cheres properly to get out all the yisr. Cheres absorbs well, and so therefore, when it comes to the cheres, you can't use it. Says the Ramah, v'yesh osrim afilu b'klisheni. The Ramah says that there are some who say that kli cheres is going to be osr even in kli sheni. The Ramah quotes the Magid Mishnah, it's kemat mefurish in the Rambam, that the Rambam says that not only is a kli rishon going to be problematic, in other words, that which absorbed chametz bepesach as a kli rishon, even if it absorbed chametz bepesach as a kli sheni. So we are machmir. We are machmir that even though we have a rule that kli sheni is not mevashel, we hold that the halacha is that we're machmir even in a kli sheni. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah spells out in Sif Katan Yud Aleph. That's what the Shaar Tzion spells out in Sif Katan Yud. If you take a look at the Shaar Tzion, he has a couple of exceptions to the rule, but this is the general rule that we're machmir even be kli sheni. Not only Shvud needs Libun, not only Kri Lishon needs Hagala, but even a Klisheni, we're going to be Machmir, which would mean that if you want to use something with Klisheni, you're going to have to be Machshir as well. Rav Nevensal said to me that this is based, this is what we call a Chumrah de Pesach. You've heard that there are certain instances that were Machmir on Pesach more than Mi'ikar de Dina. This would seem to be that example, because it's really hard to explain otherwise. A general rule of thumb is that by Klisheni we're Makil, unless you say, but there's no record of this in the Rambam, unless you say that this is a raya that the Rambam held, like the Shach, that holds that when it comes to Klisheni, the Klisheni is Maflit u'Mavliya. Those Rishonim that are quoted in that Shach and Simon Kufhei, but generally most assume that the word over here is that it's a Chumrah de Pesach. The Ramah in Seif Dalid has three words that conclude Seif Dalid that discuss another Kli that's very important for us to talk about. In fact, I must have gotten about between 5 and 10 calls this Erev Pesach about this Kli, particularly because of Corona, but in every year there'll be a few questions about it. But in the age of Corona, it even became more important. And it's three words in the Ramah, but actually the Mishneh Berurah really is more makel than the simple reading of the Ramah. The Ramah concludes Taf Nun Aleph Dalet with three words. Chatsuva tsarich libun. That the chatsuva needs libun. The chatsuva, the Mishneh Berurah explains, is a... what's it called? What we put under the camera? Tripod? Right. So the tripod, so chatsuva tsarich libun. I just started missing Aryeh Lightman when I thought of the tripod. Okay. Chatsuva tsarich libun. So Mishneh Berurah says, Hu kli shiyesh la gimel raglayim. It's a utensil that has three legs. Umamidin ale kdero machves betanur ala ur kolashana. So it's something that holds up the pot. Now, I don't think that this is very different than our stove grates. Something like a stove grate that is there that holds up a pot. So everybody wants to know, what are you supposed to do with your stove grates before Pesach? How do you kasher it for Pesach? So it's a straight up Mishneh Berurah. So the Ramah says it needs libun. Why? Because there's iser that falls onto the grate, and then you need to burn it out. But here the Mishneh Berurah again quotes this term of chametz de Pesach. But really, this is only due to the chumrah of chametz. Rabosa, this is worth dancing over, because now we're going to pull out what we were amal on the winter. Seems like a totally different world. But if you remember, once upon a time, we learned in a base medrash called the Grus Kolo. And over there, if you remember, we were amel on the following sugya. What happens if you have a fleshik dikapat and a milchik dikapat? And they're burning hot, and they touch each other. So how do we paskin? So most shitas hold, ein iser yotze, b'li rotev. That without rotev, the iser doesn't go. So that's what the Mishneh Berurah is saying over here. The be'em ashtek deiras hanoge zo b'zoi, ein yotzos ha'blios b'zol l'zo. The blios don't go from one to the next. Kimavur b'yaradeya. So what's the shailas? Ask the Mishneh Berurah on the chumrah of the Ramah. The Ramah says, here we go, we'll put it out. This is the grate. This is the pot that's sitting on top of it. So why is it that we're machmir and say that the grate over here, this needs libun? At the end of the day, this had chametz. It had chametz that fell on it during the year, for sure. Can't be that the whole year there wasn't a bit of pasta that fell on it. So something fell on it. But how's the Yisr going to go into the Pesach dikapat? So says the Mishneh Berurah that really this is a Chumrah de Pesach. This, the fact that a Chatzuva needs Libun, is Chumrah de Pesach. He says, Kimavur b'yardeh, v'gam yesh litos, continues the Mishneh Berurah in Sifkat and Lamedal, halfway through, Shafim nishbach, kvar nisraf. And the other thing is that it's better than most shailas of Hagala and Libun. Because here you're talking about the fire is burning on the tripod, the fire is burning on the grate, and it's going to burn out the chametz. In other words, it does libun to it all the time, he says. Kfar nisraf alach lokim shukhal shaw ala esh, valkein bevadei dail bezeb libun kal. He says, we're sure it would be enough libun kal. which is not the Pashtus of the Ramah, but here's an instance where the Mishnah Berurah is more makel than the simple reading of the Ramah, u'bidiyevid, and not only that, afim nishtam shalom b'lilivun kal, gam kein ein lasar. He says, even if b'dievid, you didn't kasher at all, there's no need to aser. So a few people called me up that they were used to taking, many people called me up, that they were used to taking the grates to the Libun Center. Rabbi Binyamin knows that that in Ramat Beit Shemesh, in the park, all the other years, there's a big center for Hagolas Kalim. So most people, what they did with their grates is they brought it to the Libun Center and they burn the grates. Chatzuva Tzarech Libun. This year they weren't able to do it. So what many people were bothered by is that if they turn up the fire, all that they're going to do is heat up. All that they're going to do is heat up the area directly by the fire, but the grate is usually larger than that. So I tried to give them eitzes to make them feel better that it's okay that this year you can't, if you can't do, most people don't have a blowtorch, and certainly if you don't know how to use it, even if you do have it, you shouldn't use it. It's mamish pikuach nefesh. So in such a case, we have this Mishnah Berurah that is makel. So I told them if you could cover it with silver foil, that would be fine. But even if you weren't able to cover with silver foil, me'ikar d'dina, just by turning up the heat on that area, that would be enough. Because the Mishnah Berurah says, really, in most instances, you're not going to have a problem. Because even if you put the Pesach Dika pot on top of it, the Isser doesn't go without Rotev. What the women in Mishkafayim told me that I wasn't aware of was an Eitza of Rav Neuberger, that Rav Neuberger said that you could put a blech on top and then turn up all of the burners, and then the heat will spread out throughout. That's not really Libun, because Libun is that the fire needs to get to it, but the Mishnah Berurah said that all you need is Libun Kal. So if all you need is Libun Kal, then in such a case, that would be an Eitza. But let's say someone didn't do that, then in such a case it would be okay. I told some of the women that they could put aluminum foil on it after they had heated up the rest of the grates, just turned up the burners, and some women were afraid that aluminum wasn't going to work or was going to damage or et cetera, et cetera. So mi'ikar d'dina, the Mishnah Berurah is makel, and one does not, even though customarily we do libun, there are in Bishas HaDchak, definitely studim to be makel on. Yes, Zach?
But in theory, on Pesach, if you have some rotev fall on the grates, so then there you go, because then it's going to be, the time will be transferred. So now you've created chametz.
Correct.
If, on Yantav.
Correct. If you had, let's construct a tziur. If you really didn't kasher it at all from chametz, and then you had rotev that fell on, and then you put the pot on, so then in such a case, that would be echshash. But in general, that doesn't happen too often. And in such an instance, so then the best thing would be just to, in this case, as the Mishnah Berurah pointed out, it probably burned it out anyhow.
Right.
So it's not really concerning. But you're right, that's where the minute comes from, to do it that way. Rav Meller added one more thing. He said, why aren't we choshesh on grates for basar b'chalav? We're not machmir to have different grates, one for basar, one for chalav. Why are we not machmir for that? So the answer is all the reasons that we have in the Mishnah Berurah. So that addresses your question as well, your issue as well, Zach. Okay. Now, Rabosai, what we're going to do, the last topic that we're going to do today is the culmination of all the sugyas that we've done together now, and that is the question of kashering ovens on Pesach, for Pesach. So let's talk out the sugya together. Based on all the above. So if you have chametz oven, what does halacha say l'chatchila you need to do to kasher it? So really what you need to do is libun. What you need to do is take a torch and torch every area in the oven itself. Now, the truth is that many people who have the means actually arrange for this by buying a self-cleaning oven. A safe self-cleaning oven, the heat gets way over, when you self-clean the oven gets way over 900 degrees, and by bringing it to that level of heat, actually has the din of Libun Gomer. And that's an advantage for people who could afford to buy a self-cleaning oven. That would be a suggestion. I remember as a child, before there was such a thing as self-cleaning oven, and maybe there were a few people who had it, but it wasn't as common as it is today. It was unique. It was a manufacturer's entity. It wasn't something that was generally domestic. So most people couldn't do that. Most people couldn't rely on that. So the question is whether you're stuck. When I came to Mishkafayim last year, there was a woman who, I guess from her parents' house, assumed that you can't kasher an oven for Pesach that's not self-cleaning. They're not wealthy people. So she was using a toaster oven on Pesach, and it was very, very difficult. So the question is whether that's required. I have to ask my mother, may she be well. I think my mother maybe my mother didn't use the oven on Pesach. I don't recall. I don't want to say my mother, I don't recall. But definitely there were people, most people did not have ovens, and what they would do is they would find a way to kasher the oven. Rav Miller Shlita, if I'm not mistaken, what he did for many, many years, and this was common in Yerushalayim, is that they would get an insert. They would put an insert into the oven that all of the blios of chametz would not come out. That's, if you will, you want to call it minig Yerushalayim, that was the chumrah that was followed. However, for this woman, I thought that one, and for the community in general, I'm uncomfortable with the fact that people who could afford it are able to use an oven, and people who can't, because there are many tzadim to be makel, even though Rav Miller's approach, and I think my mother's approach of not using the oven at all, are for sure the Mahadrin, Shebe Mahadrin approach, but there is definitely Mekoros that could help us kasher even a non-self-cleaning oven. If you take a look in the Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Lamed Beis, the Ramah had concluded v'nagin kisvar rishona b'chol davar shedinog b'libun, that the halacha is that you need to do libun on chametz because it's isura bala. And the Ramah summarizes again one more time in Sifkat and Lamed Beis, he summarizes the sugya. He says d'ladina iker kedas hamechaber the chametz mikri isura bala val kein tzarech libun tov. She had tzotzos nitazim imenu. You need to do a full libun. Va'filu b'di'eved. Wow, look at this. The Mishnah Berurah says even b'di'eved yesh lesser m'shtam shlo pesach boch lo limno. Even b'di'eved you'll have to be machmer. It's not only a chomer lechatchila. By the way, the gra doesn't sound that way, right? The gra sounded like b'di'eved. The mechaber and the ramo would be mekel. That's what the gra sounded like in kuf chaf aleph. Okay, at least the mechaber. But the Mishnah Berurah continues, even though b'di'eved would be machmir, achein b'makom hesim meruba, and here's a good one, o miniyas simchas yomtif, v'hu eina ben yoma me'ashin eshtam shoba ha'chametz, yesh lismoch ala poskim desorim dechametz mekrei tarabal, v'da ma'ashir shir b'ay ha'galo libun kam. So I remembered when we weren't home for Pesach the entire Pesach, and we were just home for Chol HaMoed, and my wife was miserable cooking for those meals on Chol HaMoed because she told me that a toaster doesn't come out the same way when you do it in a toaster. So when I was having a question and answers with the women in Mishkafayim, and this woman told me that she was going to be, she had no choice, but she had to use her toaster oven. She had a Pesach toaster, but they didn't have a self-cleaning oven. I thought that would qualify as a case of Minias Simchas Yomtov, that the Mishnah Berurah says that Mimakwa Minias Simchas Yomtov, and it's an Eina Ben Yomo, you could rely on Hagala. And therefore, what that means is that according to this Mishnah Berurah, that Mimakwa Minias Simchas Yomtov, the Eitzah would be as follows. To clean the oven well, to clean it very well, and then to heat it up the highest temperature that you would use for the longest period of time that you would use it, and then we would rely on the fact that it's going to be hetera bala. The chametz is hetera bala. That's sniff number one. So what we have is we have the Mahadrin approach to require libun. B'makom minia simchas yamtuf, we have a more lenient approach. And then finally, we have a big chiddush from the Minchas Yitzchak. The Minchas Yitzchak in Chela Gimel, Simin Samach Vav, says quite a chiddush. He says that it's a chakira. What's the din of Libun Gomor? Is the din of Libun Gomor that once you have Isura Bala, then you need to kasher the entire kli, and the only way it's considered kashered is if it reaches this heat of Libun Gomor. Is that the Havana in the requirement of Libun Gomor? Or is the Havana a different Havana? That when it comes to Isura Bala, then you must get everything out of the kli, and the way in which you have to get everything out of the kli is by making sure that you've heated it up to the optimal heat that's going to remove all of the isur. What is the optimal heat? So when it comes to roasting, there the optimal heat is over 900 degrees. But what happens if you're talking about an oven? In an oven where the optimal heat never reaches 900 degrees. Why can't you, says the Minchas Yitzchak, argue that it will be Libun Gomor if you turn it up to the hottest that you normally have it, that you ever had it, and then Kibolo Kachpolto? How could you be more machmir than Kibolo Kachpolto, argues the Minchas Yitzchak? And therefore the Minchas Yitzchak says that there is room to be makel that even if you hold Isura Bala. What's the pshat? Is the pshat that the Libun Gomor is that you have to bring it to this level of heat to the point that you've now burnt out everything from inside? Or you're just burning out Kibolo Kachpolto? And Kibolo Kachpolto is enough to create the heter. That is the Minchas Yitzchak suggestion, that it's the second. You don't need, Libun Gomor is not a threshold that you have to get to. It's a din in Kibolo Kachpolto. V'amevin Yavin Chayim, this might be totally in what we had said from the Shevet Alevi. If you say the Vard is that Libun Gomor makes it that you need to kasher the Kli, that the Kli itself is Aser, then it makes sense to be Machmir maybe by Libun Gomor, that in order for the Kli became Iser, in order for the Kli to become Heter, is a din of Yaviru Be'esh. You have to be Yaviru Be'esh. But the Minchas Yitzchak is assuming not that way. Minchas Yitzchak is saying, no, you don't need to go so far to say that there's a din Torah of Asher Yavo Be'esh, you need to be Machshir a Kli of Iser. No, there's a din of Kibolo Kachpolto. That din of Kibolo Kachpolto is the din that you'll never, however it got in, it's going to get out. And that's all you have to do. You have to make sure that you got to get it out. Maybe it's totally hubba-hubba. But either way, whether it's totally hubba-hubba or not, we have three approaches. The Mahadrin approach, the insert, or not to use the oven at all. The Minia Simchas Yintuf approach, which I think is very legitimate in terms of passing for the Hamon Am. Especially for people that it seems clear there'll be Minia Simchas Yomtev, or B'makom Hefse Meruba. Not only Minia Simchas Yomtev, but Hefse Meruba. For some people, to buy a self-cleaning oven is a Hefse Meruba. So you could combine those two. And then finally, the Minchas Yitzchak's Mahalach. Ramesha doesn't go with that Mahalach. By the way, Rabbi Jachter quotes that Rav Soloveitchik went with that, but it's well known that Ramesha did not go with that. Rabbi Eider quotes that Ramesha said, even if the oven reaches only 500 degrees Celsius, nevertheless, Libun Gomor would require that it brings it to 700. So Ramesha was a machmir in this regard. So this comes up all the time. When you have Isura Bala, what's going to be the mode of Hechsher? This shir I heard from Rav Miller from quite a few years ago. And this year we had an interesting shaila. Maybe Rabbi Yamin, you even remember the shaila from the dormitory. There was the following shaila. What happened was there was a boy who, I think, maybe it was a George Foreman or it was a toaster. I'm not sure whether it was a George Foreman or a toaster, but there was a shaila of basar b'chalav. Rabbi Schneider came over to me, that the boy came over to him, that they had used, someone had assumed it was fleishiks, and then someone cooked milchiks in, so obviously that food was treif, that there's nothing to talk about. But now the shaila was, how are you machshir? So this is a case, Rabosai, of Isura Bola, right? It was a case of Isura Bola. So I told him that I want to go into Rav Miller and ask him, because this would be a good time to see how Rav Miller is going to be machria on the above three shitos that we had mentioned. So Rav Miller paskin in that case that you shouldn't kasher it, that was a problem. It would seem to me that Rav Miller probably held that the pashtus is that by Yisura Bola you need to go, it's not enough to heat it up to its optimal heat. You really, like Rav Moshe was machmir, one should be machmir. However, in case of Pesach, we had other tzadim lahakel. We had the tzadim imekel hetera bala. We saw that the grah held up meikur dedina. We said hetera bala. We have the Mishnah Berurah says many asimchas yomtiv. You could rely on it, but makom hefsim meruba. But stam a George Foreman or a toaster oven that was yisura bala could very well be that we're going to be stuck. Okay, Rabosai, I think this is a good place. This is a good place to stop. Mirtzeh Hashem. Next Thursday, Mir Tzeshem, we're going to continue on in Taf Nun Aleph. You have the Mar Mekomos, right, Chevra? You have the Mar Mekomos. Good. Gevaldik. So you could keep on going Keseder if you enjoy, or you could follow the topics. I think it's very, very helpful to learn this way, where I'm, quote-unquote, jumping around, because this is the easier way to get the understand the sugya properly, not just random halachos, but you could continue going Keseder. By Monday, Mir Tzeh Hashem, we'll be doing Simen Taf Nun Beis, which is the process of Hagolas Kalim, practical Hagolas Kalim, which also gets involved with Zman Hagolas Kalim. And Mir Tzeh Hashem, we're getting close to moving on to B'siyata D'Shmaya Tevilas Kalim.
I somehow became the host, so it recorded on my computer. Did Rebbe want it somehow?
Yasha Koach, I think I'm actually pulling out my recorder. I was makbid to, let me see. Ah, here it is. It's still recording even.